Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, mm-hmm. you know that I'm yep. working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. Mm-hmm. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep. And I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
mm-hmm. The Bachelor.
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. Mm. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. It's Friday. That means it's Twibbin. This week in Bachelor Nation, we got a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on this week, to say the least. A lot of big announcements coming from ABC officially. A lot of big announcements about other reality shows. We're going to get to all of that, of course. Before we begin, though, we got a little bit of business. We got Bad at Job mugs, still available at gameofroses.co. We're seeing a lot of funny social media about these Bad at Job mugs out in the world.
Did you see the snake?
Yes, there was a snake.
I love that one.
Serpent, as we like to call it here at Game of Roses. But we appreciate everybody picking those up and sending us the social media. I love seeing them out in the world. And of course, we just have a few short days until next week. The paperback version of How to Win the Bachelor comes out on May 23rd. You can still pre-order it now if you like. And we hope that you all enjoy that. We put a lot of hard work into that, to say the very least.
A lot. As Connor Roy would say, my blood, my treasure, my etc. And I, you know, we wrote it, but I reference it for every podcast pretty much. I just looked up something that we're going to talk about in State of the Game.
It truly is like a textbook to some degree. In the course of season, like this past season, we were recapping season 27. and even Bachelor at 19, I was definitely referring to that book multiple times per each of those seasons to look up, oh, this is what a Pretty Woman date is or whatever. Like all the different elements mm-hmm. of our beloved game are there in text. You can read it. You can read it to your friends and say, look,
when did the historical first happen, et cetera.
Yeah. So anyway, pick it up if you get a chance. And now let's do what we came here to do, Pace Case. We're going to begin this episode, as we begin all episodes, with a
Game of Roses. State of the game.
Okay, this was going to be in news, but it's bigger than news. So we're just going to cover it here. ABC has officially announced...
Bigger than news.
It is. I think it's bigger than just a news piece. It's a transformation to our beloved game in one way or another. ABC has officially announced The Golden Bachelor is going to be coming out this fall. We have been teased about this for years at this point, literally.
Yes.
Some people thought it was never going to happen.
Since Claire Crawley?
Yeah, I don't remember when they first started talking about it in that capacity. But when, you know, we started seeing those casting cards come out. If your yes. grandma or grandpa, whatever, wants to find years. Love, it has been multiple years, but now they're finally doing it. They're going to shoot it. I think that some of this is because of the writer's strike. I think that some of this is because there are multiple other networks making shows exactly like this that are going to be coming out at roughly the same time. And
probably a big part of it yeah. is that they're like, this is our format. We're going to do it first.
Right. And so we know a little bit about it. Let's just get the facts. And then we're going to talk about what we think this is going to be like and how it's going to potentially affect The Bachelor as a whole. So what we know is it's going to feature a man and a group of women. This is per, I believe this was Hollywood Reporter. This is per them. The network has greenlit The Golden Bachelor, which will feature a man and a group of women on the other side of 60 years old looking for love. The show will be part of ABC's Strike Proof.
So this is first.
What's that?
An age limit. Before they've been casting, they've just said someone who's young at heart.
Yeah, but it seems now it's going to be 60 years old.
But did they have the direct age cutoff? Yeah.
60 or older. The show will be part of ABC's Strike Proof all unscripted schedule in the fall, airing after Dancing with the Stars on Monday nights. The median age for an ABC viewer is a little over 61 years old, in the middle of the pack for English language broadcast networks in the United States. According to a 2020 YouGov survey, more than 40% of The Bachelor audience is older than 55. Now, again, that's on network TV. We don't know what those metrics are when you look at streaming yeah. or YouTube or whatever. So that's kind of where it's sitting. Now, what is this show going to be like? Again, all we know is there's one man and a group of women all older than 60 per, again, this Hollywood Reporter article.
Which of the conditions are they going to repeat? Are they going to do it at Villa de Lavina? Are the old people going to be sleeping in those bunk beds?
I can't imagine that. I can't imagine you're going to have, you know, at the end of night one, you've got 20 to 22 players left. And they're going to be cramming 5 to 8 60-year-old women into bunk beds in those tiny cramped rooms and saying, share a bathroom. I can't imagine it. Like, who's yeah. staying on that show? You know, that's what I'm really most curious about is like, who did they cast? What 60-year-old mm-hmm. person is like, yeah, I do that. Are these all people naive to the process of reality television? They must be.
Older influencers. That's my guess.
Who's that? Who's an older influencer?
There are older influencers. There's like women, older women who are like fashion influencers and stuff. Like,
sure.
On TikTok, especially, there's some really interesting content coming out of that demographic.
But at a certain age, you're just not sleeping in bunk beds. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I feel like 60 is definitely that age. I feel like that age is probably in your mid-30s. I think there are some people on Bachelor already who are like, fuck, do I have to fucking do this?
Yeah. If there's a mattress, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
But I don't sleep on the hardwood floor anymore in a sleeping bag.
Yeah. I don't know when the last time I did that was. I think I've only ever done that once.
We used to put like 60 people in like a 12-person ski house in college.
Jesus.
Everyone slept on the floor.
That's what I'm saying. There's a little bit of like when you're young, you're
physically able to withstand that kind of torture, but also mentally you're more like game for those kinds of things. I think once you hit a certain age, you're just like, wait, what is this? Fuck this. I'm out. I don't know if that will be the case or not. I don't know how fame hungry these people will be.
Are they going to build in siestas into the into the format of the show? Are they going to be able to bring all their meds?
Yes. That is something notoriously Bachelor producers deprive you of sleep. And if you're on any kind of medication, unless it's like necessary to live, they will take it from you and not allow you to have it. So what is that going to be like for a 60-year-old person where they're like, no, you're only going to get 4 hours of sleep per day? That ain't going to work. They're just going to be passing out on camera.
I'm just like, what are the conditions that they're going to repeat? I think an area where they will have an advantage is in the cell phone loss. I don't think they're as conditioned to need their cell phones as, you know, those of us who have grown up with them.
Right.
So that won't be as jarring for them.
But like, are they going to be able to coax these women into getting in fights with each other and having drama?
100%.
You think?
What do you think happens in retirement communities? You think there's no goss? Roller skates clues.
Maybe there is. But like,
there's
this is
so much goss.
There may be goss, but do they get in fights with each other?
Bingo night. Who's like, they're hooking up.
You think this will be the most chemistry play we've ever seen in a season of Bachelor?
Yeah, it's going to be Gengen.
Oh my
God.
I
said it here first. It's going to be the sexiest Bachelor season ever.
Are they going to put them through, like we obviously have in regular Bachelor and Bachelorette, forced violence group dates? Are we going to see stuff like that? Are they going to have to be karate kicking each other in the head and playing tackle football?
I think they'll cut out tackle football and boxing.
Okay. You think forced nudity?
Wrestling. I think there's going to be hot tubs. Are you kidding?
Like that's another question I have. How are they going to present the more sexual elements of the game?
I don't know. The lights off will be at like 5 p.m. Look, they can't get pregnant, so I feel like that helps you out.
I mean, I guess. I don't know if that's a consideration.
That could add to the chemistry play. Chemistry play anywhere, anytime. No problem.
Yeah.
No equipment needed.
And now, if we have... Let's assume that this is going to be successful. I think out of curiosity, almost everybody who watches Bachelor is going to watch the first episode.
Even Rachel Lindsay said she would watch.
Yeah, exactly. She's coming back to the franchise after everything they fucking done to her. This has piqued her interest. Fascinating.
Yeah.
But they are going to be in direct competition with these other shows that are similar. I believe Kinetic Content is making one for Netflix. I think Bravo has one coming. You're going to have almost a direct comparison. Can The Bachelor do it as good as these other shows? I mean, my gut reaction is absolutely not. I don't think they'll come close.
Yeah, if Kinetic is doing one, it's hard to imagine Bachelor makes a better version.
I agree. And then you also have these strange considerations that are like, are these people part of Bachelor Nation now? Because this is going to be present, like The Bachelor presents Golden Bachelor or whatever. It has Bachelor in the name. It's like, listen to your heart. It is part of the Bachelor family.
What, you think they're not going to go on all the pods? They're definitely going on.
Yeah, I think they'll go on the pods and stuff.
Although if it's during Bachelor in Paradise, that hurts it.
I agree. But will these players be in contention for the next season of Paradise? Will they be able to now be in the All-Star shows? Is this like a broader...
Does it have its own All-Star show?
I mean, you'd have to have multiple seasons for that to ever take hold, which I don't know that this will.
Yeah.
I'm just like... I can't imagine the casting for this is as easy as Bachelor is.
I imagine it's not. It's taken them, what, 4 years? What feels like 20?
Yeah.
I thought it was never going to happen.
I agree. And I think because these other shows are putting pressure on and because the writer's strike is happening, they were like, fuck, we got to pull the trigger now. So it may have been like some rushed casting to some degree. I don't know.
And who are they casting? We have a rich history of older people in the nation, starting with, this is what I looked up in our book, Chrisley Kennedy's grandmother, Nana. She arguably innovated the star family member strategy during season 7. On her hometown date, Bachelor Charlie O'Connell danced with her Nana and gave her a rose during the meeting of the family portion. Then she gave her advice on what to do with her chemistry game. She was at the live finale. She did her signature dance. We also have Gabby's grandpa, Joe, who went as a third wheel on one of her dates. And I was like, oh, maybe they're trying to play him up.
I think he's too old. I think these players are all going to be between 60 and 62. Like, I don't think they're going, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think they want to keep them as young spry as possible. Wasn't her grandpa like 80 or something?
I don't know. A gentleman 60.
Yeah.
Just, you know, Franco's dad.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what its effect will be overall as we have an aging TV watching population, especially on network. Like we said, the average or the median age for an ABC viewer is about 61 years old. I think in terms of network television trying to continue to make money, they're almost exclusively going to be making content for boomers at this point because no one else watches network TV. And so I think you might even see more shows like this where it's an older population, more reality shows, I mean, like this, where it's an older population as the players, as the cast members of whatever those shows might be.
The only version I've seen is the show that we watched with Christy Katzman. What was it called? Labor of Love.
Yeah.
And I would say they weren't bringing the drama, but it was also men who we've talked about are worst 40. Players just generally.
I just can't see the drama coming unless they are casting people again who like literally don't know anything about reality television. And that's totally possible in this case.
Easier to find.
Exactly. I think the older you get, just generally speaking, the less savvy a person is about the fact that reality TV is fully manipulated. So I don't know. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with this show. Again, it's going to air, I believe, in September, which is the same time Paradise is going to be airing, right on the heels of Charity Lawson's season.
They're trying to kill us.
So there's going to be a lot to cover. And as you'll see in news, there's another show that's going to be airing in September that we also are going to have to cover. So we're going to have Paradise, we're going to have Golden Bachelor, and we're going to have Love is Blind Season 5.
It's also interesting that they're branding it Golden Bachelor, taking away from Goldini's catchphrase. This is like Rodney Matthews, underdog, Clayton Eckert all over again.
I don't think they ever called him the Golden Bachelor. I think that was just us calling him the Golden Child and all that shit. But yeah, I mean, I would just say, I think overall, I don't think Golden Bachelor is going to have a lot of drama. I just can't see it happening. I think the PTCs are going to be off the fucking chain. Like, Jesus Christ, yeah. You're going to have people who's like have experienced some real shit. By the time you're 60, you've got a bunch of death in your life, generally speaking, maladies, all kinds of personal tragedies going on. So that'll be interesting if they bring in Nick Vial to do a Circle of Pain group date.
Yeah. So do you have a lot of death in your life?
Yeah. They're all like, yeah, of course.
Just paint a picture. Yeah.
Give me a body count for people you've known.
Do you think they're going to have like bachelor, bachelorette, like guest hosts and stuff the same way?
I don't know. I mean, like, is Jesse Palmer hosting this?
Maybe Grandpa Joe could host a date.
It's strange to think of like Jesse Palmer, who is in some cases going to be like the age of their children, asking them about their feelings about each other and shit like that. You know,
you think they need to bring in a grandpa host,
something, or no host? I'm not sure exactly. It just feels like,
you're trying to take his job.
How is a Jesse Palmer going to provide counsel to somebody who is 20 years older than him about like romance and life? You can't.
How does he do it to people 20 years younger than him?
Well, he at least gives the
not a problem.
You presume that he has more life experience because he's older. It does give a kind of like father figure, confidant type character. That's what Chris Harrison did too. That essentially is the role of the host. Look at like the Dark Lord's Lachey. Same thing. She literally is up there saying like,
so they need someone who's 100
or something. At least somebody who's a contemporary of theirs. I don't know. It's very strange. I don't know what's going to go on, but we, of course, will be watching it. We'll be covering it.
It's Byron Velvick.
Perfect. Bring out Byron Velvick. Yeah. How old is he now? He's got to be 60 probably, right? Roughly?
I mean, he was 40 in 2004.
four.
Oh my God, what if he's the bachelor?
Or Alex Michaud. Bring out Alex Michaud. Let him do it. He's in his mid-50s, I think. Late 50s.
I would shit my pants if it was Alex Michaud.
Yeah, I would too. We don't know. The bottom line is we don't know.
I hope it's someone good. I hope it's a celebrity.
Oh, that would be interesting. An older celebrity. It's Anthony Hopkins. We don't know. The bottom line is that we have no idea what the show is going to be like. We only know these small details. It is a bachelor format. Yeah. One guy, 30 women. And that's really all we know. And it's going to come out in September.
And they have to have chemistry on stage.
God, for real. Well, I mean, that. I just can't imagine, like, if they're adhering to a traditional bachelor format, night one, regular season, playoffs, finals, you've got fantasy suites in there. The hometowns, I guess, what? They'll be meeting their kids. Like, all these players are going to be fucking package deals, right? Unless their family died.
Or they don't have a family.
Right, never been loved. Do you think we're going to see any PVCs in this? 60-year-old virgin?
Oh my God, that would be so sad. No.
Unless it's a strong Christian play.
It's the strongest Christian play of all time, a 60-year-old virgin.
I've been a nun until right now. Now I'm thinking about changing my ways.
A nun would be good. They don't know what reality TV is, probably.
It's all nuns. It's 30 nuns who have recently left the church. I'd watch that show.
You heard it here. This is our prediction. It will be all nun play.
Will we see our first nun in a Bachelor official show? Please give me that show.
Someone was a pastor. Someone was a pastor, right?
I don't know.
Evan, in my mind, I called him Dick Pastor. Why was that? Did he do something with dicks?
Evan Bass?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was an erectile dysfunction doctor.
Yes.
And he was a pastor? I don't remember the pastor part.
Served as a pastor for a few lives, and he actually liked it. Says he has found a different way he can lift the spirits of people, but doesn't regret the work he did as a pastor.
Maybe we'll see something like that. What do you think the craziest occupation is that we'll see? Like, some of these people are fucking retired.
The craziest occupation will be, clown?
A clown. All right, maybe. I think we're definitely going to get some former pageant queens in the mix. That will definitely be the case. I'm curious to see, like,
oh yeah,
you know, as you get into the older audience, we talk a lot about how there's a lack of diversity in all ways on Bachelor, body type, race, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. Are they still going to cast a very specific body type?
Sexual preference.
Yeah. Are we going to see any bisexual 60-year-olds?
No, they're going to stick as close to season one of Bachelor as possible. White, thin, etc. They're already breaking the mold in their minds.
Right. God, I can't wait to see who this bachelor is, too. Also, these people are 60. You're looking at somebody like Greer Blitzer, who was held 23, and she has problematic racist shit posts in her past. What do you think about 60-year-olds?
Yeah, but she was on the internet.
Sure, but yeah, you're right. Maybe they're like immune to it because their youth isn't on the internet.
The older people are immune.
Kind of, but...
yeah. Unless they're posting stuff now.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I just think about my own parents who are a little older than this. They're in their late 60s.
If your parents were on the show, then yes, we would be having some problems.
Like, are we going to see some shit like that? I don't know is the bottom line. But we're very excited for it. We will be covering it.
Oh my God.
In one way or another.
So excited.
And that's the state of Bachelor Nation right now, is we have this new entry into the nation, into the family of Bachelor products, which is going to be finally the Golden Bachelor. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, me either.
And now let's move on to that portion of our program in which we discuss all of those luscious tids.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
First up in Bachelor Nation News, The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise have officially been renewed. On Tuesday, ABC announced that both series will be returning to the network for another installment. This marks season 28 for The Bachelor and season 9 for Bachelor in Paradise.
This will be a new era for both series, as they will be the first seasons produced without Mike Fleiss. who was forced to step away from the franchise he created in March following allegations of misconduct based on racist and misogynist interactions with various staff members.
It is rumored that many of the producers from the Fleiss era have also been removed from their duties on the franchise in recent weeks. The upcoming season 27 of Bachelorette starring Charity Lawson will debut on June 26th, but it will not have had the benefit of the defleissing.
The Bachelor franchise continues to provide ABC with strong ratings despite overall declines across linear television. Season 27 of The Bachelor averaged about 2.9 million viewers and a 0.58 demo rating per episode, which is solid, but definitely still a sharp decline from season 26, 3.66 million average audience and 0.81 in the demo.
Bachelor in Paradise season 8 averaged about 2.3 million viewers and a 0.54 rating across both Monday and Tuesday nights in the fall. As with its predecessor, ratings for the spinoff series did sink compared to the previous season, which managed ratings in the 0.8 to 0.9 range and around 3 million viewers. But congrats to our beloved game on the renewal. We look forward to seeing if there are any real changes in the product as we move into the post-Fleiss era. So the first season that is going to be produced completely without Fleiss or, again, as we're hearing, without any of his loyalists in the kind of upper echelons is going to be that Bachelor in Paradise season 9, which starts shooting, I believe, early July. They pushed it back a little bit. Invites and stuff are going out now. Players are signing contracts now, and they're all getting ready to go down there.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals, and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the SkinSafe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co. with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies, and now I want to replace the whole drawer with Me Undies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my
which is not what this ad is about. But I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
I'm very curious to see what it's going to be, because also we know that the guy who really is in charge of Paradise is Louis, this producer. He's still there. So I can't, he's like the guy who masterminded all the Sally suitcase shit.
Right. They're like, there's a huge upheaval in the producers. And it's like, okay, well, aren't two of the three in charge from before?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like, I don't know. I don't think much is going to change, honestly. I think it's largely just to have kind of ABC and Warner Brothers feel better about, look, we got rid of the problem. Now let's just have the show continue to roll it out as normal. I don't think they understand that the problem is creative. I think it's good that Fleiss is out of there. I think it's good that they're cleaning house in this way, but they also need to look at the product in terms of how it is interacting with its audience in this modern era of reality television, where you now aren't the only fish in the sea. There are all these other reality dating formats that are way more popular, specifically Love is Blind, Perfect Match.
And ones that'll be directly competing with their new one.
Exactly. So I don't know. We'll see.
So they're going to shoot Golden One after BIP?
Yeah, I would assume, or maybe concurrently. I don't know. I don't know when the shooting dates are for that, but it has been ordered, which means I would assume they've been doing some casting work over the past however long. But I would assume that kicks into high gear now. And I would assume that that order doesn't come without them having already presented, like, this is who we want our Bachelor to be. So they probably already have the Bachelor locked down, and they might be looking to fill in the rest of the 30-ish players.
Pitt, hear our cry. Train your grandmas now. There's such an opportunity to make a huge star out of the season.
If you know anybody who's going on that show and they want some coaching, DM me. The DMs are open. I would love to coach a Golden Bachelor player. Love to.
I'm just thinking of like all of the new experimental strategies that you could do. I mean, you can IFI literally whenever you want.
Yeah, at all times. My back hurts. Also, are they really going to try and villainize anybody on that season? They're going to fucking knowingly
sex shame someone.
Yeah, exactly. Or get them fucking death threats and shit. I don't know about that. I don't know about that one, producers. You better protect these fucking Golden Bachelor players, because that's going to look real bad if you have a 60-year-old fucking woman coming out.
Oh my God.
And saying they wouldn't let me go to the bathroom. They were doing this kind of shit. It's fucking elder abuse. Speaking of renewals, up next in Bachelor Nation news, Netflix has announced that season 5 of Love is Blind will also premiere in September. The news was announced Wednesday as part of Netflix's virtual upfront presentation.
Despite the debacle of season 4's failed live reunion that aired 19 hours after it was scheduled, it still pulled strong ratings with 6.5 million viewers, according to Netflix. This is more than double the numbers reported for Bachelor's network audience.
Love is Blind Season 5 is set in Washington, D.C. and produced by Kinetic Content, the same company that has produced every season of the show, and has recently come under fire from cast members of Season 2 for abusive treatment of them and other cast members. We will have to see if Jeremy Hartwell and Nick Thompson's efforts to change this treatment has any effect on the upcoming seasons.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news, Season 23 Bachelor Colton Underwood is married. Up to this point in the nation, Underwood is perhaps most known for jumping a fence in an attempt to flee producers on his season of The Bachelor and then stalking his ring winner, Cassie Randolph. But it seems he put the controversy behind him as he and boyfriend Jordan C. Brown tied the knot in front of 200 guests in a romantic ceremony at the Carneros Resort and Spa in Napa Valley on Saturday. The three-day affair planned by Ashley Smith Events kicked off with a family dinner and welcome party on Friday night before a full day of wedding festivities began Saturday morning. Underwood and Brown first met at a party in Los Angeles in April 2021 and got engaged in February 2022 in Big Sur, California.
Both grooms had some celebrity support. Brown's longtime friend Olivia Wilde was in attendance, as was Colton Underwood's pursuer after he fled Bachelor production on his season, Dark Lord Harrison. No other members of the nation were present. Congrats to Underwood and Brown. We wish you happiness and prosperity.
Speaking of Bachelor 23, third place finisher and Bachelorette season 16's second crown, Tayshia Adams, is in the news this week. She and Bravo's Luke Gulbrandsen were spotted looking at engagement rings on Sunday at Tiffany & Co. in New York City. Page Six released exclusive photos of the pair out sparkler shopping.
Neither Adams nor Gulbrandsen has posted pictures with the other on social media, but they do follow one another, and they unintentionally sparked dating rumors last month in a since-deleted Instagram post by Gulbrandsen's former Summer House co-star Lindsay Hubbard. He and Adams were seen holding hands at an Easter Sunday celebration.
We can only assume that once these two houses are officially joined in an engagement, there will be a gigantic social media announcement that nets them each a nice sum of money. Congrats to Adams and Gulbrandsen on this power move that will only help expand the reach of the nation. You think they're going to come out as engaged?
Yeah.
Shit. I mean, good for him. He's like basically got kicked off of Summer House for not having enough of a storyline, comes back and nags a bachelorette.
Yep.
And not just any bachelorette, Tayshia Adams.
I know. A big one. That's a real big fish in the nation. Have we seen something like this before? I feel like we must have in Bachelor, and I just can't think of who it is.
I feel like Claire Crawley kind of did it.
Who's she married to?
That guy.
What guy?
She like basically posted that she was dating him. I mean, I think maybe she posted before, but like not really.
But he's a reality star?
And then was engaged. Oh, no.
That's what I'm talking about.
I thought you meant like the engagement announcement of the relationship.
No, no. I mean somebody from within Bachelor Nation marrying somebody from another nation.
Ooh.
Have we seen anything like that?
There's got to be.
I know Robbie Hayes dated briefly into the Vanderpump world.
And the Siesta Key world.
God, you're right. He's trying to do it both. He's dipping into other...
He's doing all the worlds.
Other worlds. God, I feel like I'm just... It's like on the tip of my tongue. I think it has happened, but I can't think of who it is.
Okay, you know who's doing it. Blake Horseman and Giannina.
Yep, that's true. They are. I know Vial tried to dip into the, like the legit A-list acting arena for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He was linked to January Jones. He tried to do the Lucy Hale thing.
The fake Rachel Bilson dating.
Yeah, Rachel Bilson. He has been linked to Charlize Theron as well. That I would say is very A-list. But yeah, I'm not sure if this has ever happened before. But we wish them well, obviously. I'm very curious to see how this pans out. And in other relationship and family news, Bachelor Season 23, 12th place self-eliminator Sydney Lotwako got married to Nick Webby this past weekend. And Bachelor Season 20 Gemini player Emily Ferguson and...
What show is he from?
None. And Bachelor Season 20 Gemini player Emily Ferguson and her husband, William Carlson, who's a hockey player, welcomed their first child, Beckham William Carlson, into their family on May 12th. Congrats to them all.
Wow. The twins.
Yep.
Back in the news. Finally, a big happy birthday goes out to Package Deal player Michael Aulio. He celebrated the 39th anniversary of the day he was born into this beautiful world.
Oh, you changed my script? All right.
What? What did I change?
Nothing. You're free to do as you please.
Okay, this dying world. Okay, there you go.
I just wanted a little truth. Just a little honesty.
I love mothers. I knew it was going to come out at some point.
I just laugh, Maddie. When I'm sitting around, you know, I go down a list of everything that I love sometimes in the morning when I wake up just to start my day. And I think to myself, you know what I love? I love disgruntled females. I love tomatoes and sauce.
Sundays.
I love Sundays. I love Instagram. I love podcasting.
Pasta.
And I love mothers.
T-shirts on my head. I love mothers.
T-shirts on my head. God damn it, Grocery Store Joe. All right. We're moving on now. That was all the news that's fit to print. Now we're going to move on to all those plays.
Our last piece.
That our favorite players are making off the field and in the parasocial world. This is
the parasocial play of the week.
The off season is actually the perfect time to be making parasocial plays because the nation is more hungry for content. You're competing with fewer other players and screens. We would love to see everyone step it up. There were a few glimmering pieces of hope this week, though. Season 27, Night 1 player Sonia Sharma hinted that she may soon have sand twixt her toes on the beaches of paradise this summer with a TikTok. She poses under the heading, "When my mama told me she better not catch me running on that beach in Mexico this summer." Caption reads, "Do with that info what you will. Wave emoji, sun emoji, bikini emoji, beach emoji." I'm doing with that what I will.
Yeah, I mean, we all are. Mandrill posted something similar to this where she is with a palm tree. It is very interesting. All of these players should be making this exact post right now. Every one of them should be insinuating that they're going to paradise, whether they are or not.
Don't wear clothes.
Whoa.
Only be wearing bikinis everywhere you go.
Are we going to see all these 60-year-olds in bikinis?
Yes. Well, there will probably be more one pieces, but we're going to see 60-year-olds in bikinis. We better.
Yeah. God, I just am like, if they can't do forced nudity and they can't do forced violence, what are they even going to do on these group dates? Bingo?
There's 100% going to be all those things. Bingo, backgammon,
shuffleboard,
whatever, all of the things. Bridge, I love bridge. That part I would be good at.
Sitting on a front porch and listening to a police scanner. Group date. All right.
I don't know. What would your parents do? Horseback riding? Horse walking alongside a horse?
Yeah, polishing their guns. We were gifted dual parasocial plays by a very important ex-couple this week to mark a parasocial reunion between them. The Last Woman Standing and newest Gore Girl, Susie Evans, posted a TikTok with the caption, "GRWM to see me ex. He told me I have to ask permission to film him now. Triple skull emoji at Clayton Eckerd." Evans posts her routine, talks about her hangover, and then is asked by Eckerd to ask for permission to film him now. 874K views, 39K likes. Juggernaut.
Juggernaut. I couldn't love Susie Evans more, I thought, until she came on Gore this week. And I was like, she's so hilarious.
She's great.
And so good at parasocial plays.
I agree.
Former Crown Clayton Eckerd made his own parasocial play to honor the duo, posting a reel in which he puts his hand on Evans's knee. Perhaps a chemistry play to the audio. What are you doing? With the caption, "Just hanging around." 443K views, 22K likes.
It's unreal to me. Like, you see this type of shit, right? They have come out of the show. They are now both, I think, persona non grata. We know Susie Evans was offered Bachelorette and they didn't give it to her. And I think that was probably her.
I thought he might touch sand, though.
Yeah, maybe. And so maybe they are kind of trying to capitalize on it. But it's like people are very interested in them, obviously, with these numbers. And the show just doesn't capitalize. They try to like distance themselves unless they are going to sand. I don't know, but
I commented ship.
It's enraging. When you see what's there and what the show could be working with, and they just don't. They just drop the ball every time. All right, moving on. Katie Bigger made a relatable TikTok after returning to her job as a nurse. She carries a coffee under the heading, "When you're on back-to-back 12-hour shifts and you see everyone enjoying their life outside," and the caption reads, "When all you want to do is enjoy a nice, warm, sunny day and not have to work." Sun emoji. Hot, crying, sweating face emoji, hashtag nursing, hashtag travel, hashtag travel nursing life, hashtag FYP, hashtag the bachelor, hashtag for you page, hashtag work, hashtag nursing humor. The TikTok Has 81.2K likes had 1.1 million views. Astounding.
I mean, you got to do all those hashtags. I'm going to start doing more hashtags, obviously. Get a million views.
Clearly. Clearly. If you can do a tidal wave of hashtags, you will get the views. We all know that.
All of these were strong plays. However, there can only be one winner. Our parasocial play of the week goes to DePaul's bachelor class. Professor Adrienne Stoner and her bachelor class students put together a TikTok with the caption, "It's hard to believe when your textbook authors won't acknowledge us, because they have. They're here on Zoom with us and we love them." Then you and I, Clues, appear on Zoom in the very same class where so many icons of the game have visited. The caption reads, "At Game of Roses, they're icons, they're legends, and they are the moment. Hashtag The Bachelor, hashtag Bachelor Nation." Incorrect. You are legends and you are the moment.
Indeed. We can't thank Dr. Adrienne Stoner, who's the professor of this class, enough for inviting us to come speak about the fandom of Bachelor, about the state of the game, about all the things that we talked about. I absolutely love this. I love seeing that our efforts, at least as I perceive them to be, somewhat academic in how we treat this show, how we break it apart. Yes, we try to be funny. Yes, we enjoy it from a fan perspective.
We try.
We try. We do our best. But it really is, to me, all reality TV, but specifically dating formats, are at a point where we do need to start looking at it academically, because it's radically affecting American culture, global culture. And so it's good to see that there are classes at universities like DePaul that are taking this stuff academically seriously. And the fact that we're being asked to go speak is great.
And a younger generation who are engaged in The Bachelor, you know, as we're seeing 40% of the viewers are over 60 or whatever. I loved it. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. We look forward to potentially doing it again next semester. But those are all the human players making their plays. We got a little bit of a creature making a play, though, this week. This week, Cassie Randolph tested out a theory with her cat Rose on TikTok. How many taps until the cat gets mad? Randolph initiates in this video a flurry of taps too numerous to count, and Rose, the cat, for her part, never gets mad. She never even reacts, instead choosing to put on a display of an amount of patience for Randolph's salvo of taps that is almost super feline. Congrats to Rose and to Randolph on this stunning addition to the legacy of parasocial creatures of the week. I loved this video. As someone who is a relatively new parent of a cat, I can't imagine my own cat withstanding this flurry of taps for really any time at all before sinking his fangs into me. So, Rose, I congratulate you.
You'd have to wear a glove at least. Do you think Cassie has a falcon glove?
Doesn't seem like she needs it with Rose. Rose seems pretty mild-tempered.
Yeah.
But congrats to Cassie and to Rose on winning Parasocial Creature of the Week.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Now it's time in our podcast when we move on to jumping deep into the bottom of the pit and issuing forth our screams about how our fandom of this franchise has drastically changed our lives forever. This is
Screams from the pit.
My scream is from the Vanderpump Pit this week. Vanderpump Pit, I feel like, has been, you know, we were hibernating. There were very few of us, but we were devoted. We were staying on Facebook because of our private Facebook secret groups about Vanderpump Rules, etc. We were watching all of their parasocial plays, living off of those, the sweet high of those first two seasons that were literal perfect reality television. And last night, Wednesday, was the Vanderpump finale for season 10, which they had stopped shooting and then started shooting when Scandoval came out, which I've done a very in-depth explanation of on our Patreon. The episode last night, I couldn't believe what we were watching. It was a perfect episode of reality TV. I highly recommend that you just start at season one so that you feel what I felt last night, which was just like complete gratitude that I'm in this timeline, that we get this episode. I can't believe that Raquel and Sandoval agreed to film what they agreed to film. Like, it's just stunning. It's a stunning thing to behold. And just shout out to my Vanderpump Rules pit. I know you're small, but you're mighty. And we've been waiting for this day to be recognized in the national spotlight. And here we are.
Do you think it's like important historically to reality television?
Absolutely. I mean, this, they've had scandals on this level. I mean, maybe not on this exact level, but pretty much in season one and two and throughout, that didn't get this kind of attention because social media wasn't as big. And now the fact that you can get this, I mean, she basically like dated someone to get on the show and now she's like one of the stars.
Can you briefly explain Scandoval?
Okay, fast forward if you're going to watch Vanderpump Rules at all about a few minutes. So essentially, the show is a spinoff of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's called Vanderpump Rules. It's about Lisa Vanderpump and her, the staff at Sir and Pump, these restaurant bars that she owns. And essentially, it's a group of young 20-somethings who have all sorts of addictions and are all like cheating on each other and stuff. And it's beautiful. And I don't think the producers even knew what they had in store when they cast this group of people, because all of these things come out when they become more famous. And Scandoval is basically that Tom Sandoval was dating Ariana Maddox for 9 years. And they were like a pretty solid couple on the show. He had been dating this other woman, Kristen, who I love, in the earlier seasons. But ever since he got with Ariana, they've been like this stable couple. Except for, oh my God, and we found out Miami Girl was real. Oh my God. Except for like a couple things, this was like the solid couple. And everyone bought houses and moved to Valley Village in the Valley in LA, and like, people were having kids and stuff, and you think everything is pretty settled. There's not going to be a shakeup. And basically, it comes out, Ariana, like, gets this woman's intuition and looks through Sandoval's phone when someone asks her to hold it at his band show and finds a video screen recording of him with Raquel, one of the other cast members, who was one of her best friends. And they're like doing FaceTime sex, basically. And she calls Raquel. She's like, tell me what it is. I think at first she only admitted they made out. And then Sheena, this other person, like attacked Raquel, who was with her. When she finds this out, everyone has turned on this couple. And it's really blown up to a really crazy degree that she, Lala Kent, and Lisa Vanderpump went to the White House Correspondents' Dinner or something. Like, they're getting all of these offers, which is like wild to see. Cause then you see people like promoting their own shit through it. Lala is wearing her merch in the season finale last night that says, send it to Daryl, which is a reference to her making these Instagram stories saying, Raquel, don't email me, send lawyer things to my lawyer, Daryl. They're just capitalizing off of this scandal in such a huge way. And it's just like, I don't know where the show is going to go from here, but it feels like a resurgence of those first couple seasons, which were so good.
And so what happened in the episode last night?
So in the episode last night, it's post them finding out, but Sandoval and Raquel do a scene together where they're like kind of lovey-dovey, which I think was a giant mistake because it was like jarring to watch because we've just seen them pretend to be friends this whole time. We see Ariana scream at Tom. We see Tom apologize to Lisa Vanderpump, apologize to Sheena. Sheena has been on since season one, and she does this amazing, like, she starts crying and says, like, I can't be friends with you anymore, and grills him. It's just basically everyone reacting to and talking about it. And then the reunion is next week where they're all going to be on stage and Andy Cohen's going to ask them about it.
And Tom Sandoval is looks like he's trying to be a lead singer of a band, and he has 971K Instagram followers. Has this hurt him at all?
Well, he and the other Tom Schwartz, have opened up two restaurant bars, Tom and Schwartz and Sandy's, and they got firebombed with bad one-star reviews on their restaurants and stuff. So it's like...
Interesting.
I mean, maybe hurt them short term, but honestly, I think it's just going to help them long term. If they can mentally, psychologically get through it.
Yeah. I feel like in these other franchises, it's not like The Bachelor. When you become a villain, it's like it helps you in some ways because you become the center of attention. At any rate, fantastic scream from another pit. My scream is deeply entrenched in the Bachelor pit. And it has to do with artificial intelligence. Look, nowhere is going to be immune from the creep of artificial intelligence, including the pit. If you've been watching my Bachelor Clues Instagram for the past couple of days, I've been doing a bunch of AI generated images of Bachelor players as superheroes, of these kind of like movie poster reimaginings of certain players and their catchphrases and stuff like this. And I've been doing this in service of trying to learn how to use AI art generation, specifically Midjourney is what I'm using. Because I do feel that we are at the cusp of a thing happening in humanity where if you don't know how to talk to AIs, if you're not interacting with them, you are going to get left behind. So I'm trying to talk to as many as I can. I'm working with GPT.
Deep scream.
I'm working with Midjourney. Well, no, I mean, it's true. It's like when computers first came out and some people were like, I'm going to keep using my typewriter to write my things, you know? And I was like, all right, dude, whatever. The more you know about AIs and the more you interact with them, the better off you're going to be as we move into this new era where everything is going to be done with AI. So I'm trying to teach myself how to use Midjourney. And I kind of looked back at like when I first started doing memes and I was like, well, how did I get good at using these different little programs and stuff on my phone, these different apps? Uh-huh. I got good by forcing myself to do iterative generations using Nick Viall's Instagram, basically, where I took each one of his.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah, I took each one of his Instagram posts and tried to make it into a meme. And now I have decided what I'm going to try and do with AI is I'm going to try to do one
kind of movie poster-esque thing for literally every season of Bachelor and Bachelorette. And I'm going to see if I can do it. I don't know how far I'll get, but that's what I'm going to do to try and teach myself how to do this. The Bachelor franchise itself will be my muse as I go on this journey of self-teaching how to use AI.
I do love the superhero themed ones you did, but I gotta say, when I saw the mess up versions of Grocery and he's like covered in sauce and it's kind of horror looking, I literally did a spit take, guffawed at how funny it was.
Yeah, I'm posting, like, when you're doing these AI art things, very often you will type in a prompt and it will give you something absolutely fucking insane. People with their heads on backwards, extra arms, not enough arms, too many legs, you know, whatever, all this kind of weird shit. And so I've been posting some of my, some of the more entertaining misfires on our Patreon. If you're interested, you can go there and check it out. But that's my scream. I am once again,
to see more.
In service of generally learning how to use this technology that is going to radically change everything in the world, I am using Bachelor as my entry point into teaching myself how to do AI art. All right. Those are our screams.
That's a perfect scream.
We got one more scream for you, of course. If you listen to this program, you may know that we play screams from listeners from time to time, aka every Friday on this very program. If you would like to submit your own scream, you just go to patreon.com/gamerroses, get in our Discord, and you can submit a 1 minute or under audio file of your scream. We play the best ones here. Right now, we're going to play one that comes to us from a user named AaronChristina123. Are you ready, Pace Case?
I'm ready.
Hello, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues. My scream into the pit is that I live in the same neighborhood as the Great One. I have seen him twice on my walks. One, I was with my dog, and he smiled at us. I smiled back. I played it really cool. The second time, I was also with my dog, but he was with Natalie Joy, and they were putting a large plant into a car. Who knows where it was going? But if I run into them again, what should I say? Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
I would go full arborist. I would be like, hey, I noticed that you were putting a, and then say the exact species of plant into your car and pretend like you have no idea who they are, but you're just really passionate about plants. It'd be like, I actually have some extra. And then you just buy them plants and then you become plant friends. And hope they don't listen to this.
Plant friends. I don't know about that strategy. I don't know how many plant friends I've ever made in my life.
You know, like people who water your plants when you go out of town.
Oh, yep. I don't have that. But we living in Los Angeles, I mean, obviously there are Bachelor players living in a bunch of different cities, but in LA, there's a bunch of them. I've come across them one time or two myself, but to know that you live in the same neighborhood, that you're seeing a person multiple times is absolutely fascinating. I don't know what to say to them, honestly. Because it depends on what your ultimate outcome is. What do you want out of this? Do you want to befriend them? Do you want to just have one funny interaction with them? I don't know. If you want to befriend them, if you want to start getting invited to
arborists
parties and things, I feel like it is some kind of arborist thing. You have to kind of like present yourself as just a normal neighbor. Hey, I've got a dog. You've got a dog. What if our dogs went on a play date? Do you know any good dog walkers? I think it has to be something about that, or like something about what's going on in the neighborhood.
Does he have a dog?
Doesn't he? I think so, yeah.
Is it a doodle?
I believe it is. But I would go with something like that. Something about the neighborhood.
You should buy a doodle then.
Yeah, maybe don't buy. I mean, you already have a dog, it sounds like. But maybe something about, hey, did you see this thing that happened in the neighborhood? What do you guys think of that? I'm part of a neighborhood group. Something along those lines. Maybe throw your own party after you see them next. Next time you see them, say like, hey, I'm having a party. You guys are probably obviously in the neighborhood. Feel free to drop by. Then you have to throw that party and hope they show up. I think there are ways to infiltrate the Vial Joy social circle here. If you do it casually, nonchalantly, definitely don't say that you know he was the Bachelor or that she's Natalie Joy.
Do what Natalie Joy did. Pretend you don't know who Nick Vial is.
Slide into his DMs. Hey, Did I see you walking your dog the other day? This is fascinating. A fantastic scream. Congratulations on living in proximity to the great one. Not very many people get to say that.
A joyful scream.
Indeed. But again, if anybody else wants to submit their scream, just go to patreon.com/gameroses, submit that scream in our Discord, 1 minute or less audio file.
Yeah, you might even get that God, on the spot pace case advice, like pretend to be an arborist.
Right.
That's Pace golden.
Case is a known arborist. She has tutored a lot of young arborists coming up in the arborist game. I really don't know what to say to him. I think it just depends on what you want that outcome to be. If you want it to be a crazy, funny, one-off thing, get it on
you
video.
Yell, you took things from me.
Yes, exactly. Or how can you make love to me without being in love with me? And you say it every time you see him, and you make sure that you make a TikTok of it every time you see him. Something along those lines.
That'll be like the new Dan with the Vans or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that one?
What are these?
Damn Daniel. Damn Daniel, back at it again with the Vans. Damn Joyelle, back at it again with the palm fronds. There's
Perfect.
An idea.
Perfect. Anyways, thank you everyone for joining us today. That concludes this week in Bachelor Nation. Before we go, as always, what is that dwab at?
It has been 7,725 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then